Joshua 8, this is after the defeat at Ai in chapter 7. Now we come to their victory in chapter 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it." So Joshua and all the fighting men rose to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And he commanded them, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you remain ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they come out against us, just as before, we shall flee before them. And they will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing from us just as before,' so we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will give it into your hand. And as soon as you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. You shall do according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you.' So Joshua sent them out. And they went to the place of ambush and lay between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai, but Joshua spent that night among the people. Joshua arose early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. And all the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai, with a ravine between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces. The main encampment was north of the city and its rear guard west of the city, but Joshua spent that night in the valley. And as soon as the king of Ai saw this, he and all the people, the men of the city, hurried and went out early to the appointed place toward the Araba to meet Israel in battle, but he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled in the direction of the wilderness. So all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua. They were drawn away from the city. Not a man was left in Ai and Bethel who did not go out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city, and the men in ambush rose quickly out of their place, and as soon as he stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it, and they hurried to set the city on fire. So when the men of Ai looked back, behold, the smoke of the city went up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. For the people who fled to the wilderness turned back against the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city went up, then they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out from the city against them. So there were in the midst of Israel some on this side and some on that side, and Israel struck them down until there was left none that survived or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him near to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness where they pursued them, and all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai and struck it down with the edge of the sword. And all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. But Joshua did not draw back his hand, which he had stretched out the javelin, until he had devoted all the inhabitants of Ai to destruction. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as their plunder, according to the word of the Lord that he commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it forever a heap of ruins, as it is to this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. This is the word of the living God. You'll recall that in the seventh chapter, there was a great setback that took place in Israel with the sin of Achan. And it states in that passage that all Israel had sinned. The failure at Ai was a failure that rested in their self-confidence. They didn't trust the Lord. In their disobedience, they didn't seek the Lord and His word. Israel sinned, and one man's sin affected the whole church. And yet, God judged that sin and destroyed Achan. And now, as chapter 8 opens, immediately thereafter, God sets forth a battle plan with Joshua and tells him to go to the very city that had just defeated them and go and take it. And he says, the victory is yours. God had plotted out the battle that was going to take place. God gave instruction to Joshua as to how this battle was going to be done. And God promised him that the battle was going to be Israel's victory over the enemy. God gave all of these instructions to Joshua because he is faithful to his word. Having forgiven the people and in the sin of Achan, because that sin was judged, immediately thereafter, God sets forth a plan for Israel to move forward, to renew its love for God in its obedience to do His will. And the same God who is the God of Joshua and Israel is our God too. He reassures us that His loving care for each and every one of us is the same. It's suited to our needs, whether the challenges that we face are internal, external, whether it's trial or temptation, whatever it is that we face, when we overcome that sin, when we come and find forgiveness and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is promised us in God's word, we find that God is gracious again, and He instructs us and He tells us to carry out His will, and we are to do that very will. We see that plan set forth here in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua is instructed by the Lord to set an ambush, to prepare an ambush for Ai and the inhabitants of Ai. It's a different plan than they had for Jericho. Jericho, they just simply marched around the city. They didn't have to go into battle. Who won the battle for Jericho? It was not the people of Israel, it was God. He brought the city down and it became flattened so that Israel could go in and have victory over their enemy. Now he tells them that the city which has previously been their enemy and destroyed them, recall in the seventh chapter that they fled and many of the people of Israel were killed, and they were trembling with fear. Now they are told immediately to go into a plan of battle and to take the battle plan that God had given to them so that they might defeat the enemy, which God says He promises He will deliver into their hand. God is giving them a new confidence, another sense in which God's plan and purpose is going to be fulfilled. He is going to deliver Ai into their hands. Did they ask for that previously in chapter 7? No. They went in their own self-confidence. Did they seek God's will and His word for the plan that they undertook in the seventh chapter? No. They went in their own strength, in their own wisdom, and they failed. But now God sets forth a plan and He gives them a new confidence. He's going to deliver Ai into their hands. Previously, their attempt to defeat Ai failed, their hearts melted. But now the sin of Achan has been put away. The Lord now indicates His favor is restored. He blesses them before they even go forward with a promise of victory, a promise that brings them hope in the midst of life and gives them the opportunity to know that even though they are unworthy of grace, as we are unworthy of God's grace, that God's will is going to be accomplished, and God's chastening, His punishment for sin, has been accomplished. And now, as a result of confessing their sin, and Achan's sin has been removed, he has been destroyed, they can move forward in the confidence of God's great grace, His great help, his great power as they move forward. And God gives this command to them to go forward into battle. He gives them the promise. I have given you the king, I have given you the people, and I have given you the city. The victory is an accomplished fact in God's mind. And Joshua and the Israelites would go forward and battle Ai, just as Christians go forward to fight the good fight of faith. As we rest in the power of God, we are called, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, to wear that spiritual armor of God. Remember the passage where it speaks of the breastplate of righteousness, which talks about Christ alone as our rock and our fortress. We are to stand in him, not in our own strength. We have to have that helmet of salvation, which is the assurance that we belong to God, that we are the Lord's, and that nothing can take that away from us. We are to go forward with the sword of the Spirit, not with our wisdom, not with our power, not with our devices, but with the word of God, the power of God, that power which is indestructible, that power which will defeat the enemy. And we are to go forward with all of these things so that we can do what in Ephesians chapter 6? To stand against the devil. In fact, Paul repeats that twice in Ephesians 6 in that very short passage. Stand against the devil. God's armor is the armor that gives victory. That's what he says to us in Ephesians 6. What he says to Israel is that his power is the power that's going to defeat Ai. And when you go forward in the power of God's armor, when you go forward in the power of God's strength, you go forward in the confidence that you're going to stand against the devil. What happens here when God sends his people forward into Ai, into a city that was their enemy and had destroyed them before? Now the city that's going to be completely defeated before them. God blinds this enemy to the fact that 30,000 Israelites were hiding, waiting to destroy Ai. Now, I don't know how you hide 30,000 people. That's a lot of people. And 5,000 people are the army that's going to go up and do the fake, you know, go up, fake out, and then run. And then the people are going to come after them. And then the other army is going to go in, destroy the city, set it up in smoke. And then the Ai people are going to turn around and see their city going up in smoke. And then they're going to realize we're caught between two armies. What a wonderful plan. God contributes more to their victory than sword and shield. His plan was that he was going to destroy this enemy, and he was going to destroy them through his sovereign victory. And what Israel had to do was what? Do what God says. I often remembered, I heard that kind of phraseology growing up, but it was usually, do what your father says. You know, he was the one that had the authority. And if you did what he said, you were usually on pretty good ground. When you do what God says, when you adhere strictly to the strategy that God has appointed, what's going to happen? You're going to get God's victory. That's God's great plan. And it happened just that way. The ambush took place. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the people. They destroyed them all. And at the very end of that passage, it tells us that the only one that was taken alive was who? The king. And they took him alive, and then they hanged him on a tree. And he was hanged as a result of his sin. God gave generous gifts to this people. He demonstrates his victorious power. He demonstrates his love for his people. He demonstrates his forgiveness for his people. And he forgives Israel, and on the basis of that forgiveness, they move forward in the confidence of God's grace and strength. And they receive generous gifts from God. Notice one other thing in this passage. In chapter 8, it tells us that they were going to be able to take the spoil and the livestock. Remember when they circled the city of Jericho? What were they to take? Absolutely nothing. Achan took some things. He coveted things. Had he only been somewhat patient, and had he only waited until they came to Ai, God's grace is given in such a way that he doesn't impoverish his people. God's grace is given in a way to demonstrate his provision, his grace. But the cancer of covetousness had consumed Achan in the 7th chapter and brought Israel to a stop. Had he waited, he would have found the grace of God and the blessing of God in this victory over Ai. And they could take all of the stock, they could take all of the things that they wanted and that they needed for themselves. God is a gracious and a loving Heavenly Father. And he's that same loving Heavenly Father for us today. He gives us all that we need, but we are to use what he gives us for his glory. We are to do what God says. And he calls us to use what he has given us for his glory, for the kingdom of God, and carry out that which God has commanded so that we might honor and glorify him. Now, in the last verses of this chapter that we've read, we've looked briefly at it, we've seen the ambush, we know the story as it takes place. The last four verses, it speaks of the Israelites taking their responsibility, doing what God said. They did what God had commanded them to do. Israel was unable to do things before, but now God commands them, and if they were to be successful, what did they have to do? They had to go out and fight. They had to prepare for the battle. They had to plan the battle. When they were out sneaking around at night in order to get into place, they had to be quiet. Everything had to be done according to what God said. And Joshua was the one who led this army in the midst of this battle. And to bring the divine blessing upon them, he reaches forth with his javelin at God's command, and he says, "Rise up from this ambush, seize the city, for the Lord God will deliver it into your hands." Every step along the way, Joshua reminds them that this is God's will, this is God's work. Do what God says. And what God did was he brought out a great victory over this city, and they were all completely destroyed. And that's how the passage ends. It ends with the army defeated. It ends with the city being destroyed. They raised it up in smoke. They burned it to the ground, and they buried it under a rubble. And they did the same with the king who they hung after they brought him back after the battle. When you see this king being hung, you have to be reminded of Deuteronomy 21:23 that says, "Everyone hung on a tree is under God's curse." We're reminded of that in the New Testament as well, in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what this passage says is that he was hung on a tree. His body was not cursed because it was hanging on a tree. It was hanging on a tree because he was cursed of God. He was under God's judgment. He was cursed because of the reason for his death. The reason for his death and the reason that he was under God's curse was he was disobedient to the word of God. He was one of a company of people within the land of Canaan, of every tribe that is named, not only in this passage, but in other passages, that come under the curse of God for one singular reason. They're disobedient to the sovereign God. And God brought Israel into the land, and God destroys the people at Ai. God destroys the people of Jericho. God destroys the people who inhabit the land of Canaan for their sin, because they are sinful and disobedient to the covenant that God has made with mankind. We are to hear in this passage God's judgment over sin, and to see it not only in the city and among the people, but the king himself, because God judges disobedience. And we see that whole principle of judgment. We saw it in terms of Israel. We saw them judged in the previous chapter, the sin of Achan, was judged. And after he was judged, the blessing came. When we sin, God knows it. He never misses it. He sees it because he is, and he is infinite and glorious. He never misses what we do. He will always, always see our sin. And when we sin, what happens? The blessing stops. God's judgment comes. If we can stop in our sin and confess our sin, we will know that there is forgiveness and there is restoration by the love of God in Jesus Christ. God's great forgiveness comes to those who repent and turn from their sin and turn to the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who gives that forgiveness. He is the only one who gives victory over the struggles of temptation and sin in our lives. And unless we are doing that which God has commanded, like the Israelites, we will fail too. But we know that even if we do fail, and even if we do sin, as 1 John 1:9 tells us, there is a God who forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's the message of Scripture, trusting in God's grace. It's the message that the Israelites learned. It's the message we must learn daily, confessing our sins and walking in faithfulness and obedience to God. Or as the saying goes, do what God says. God's word. We need to hear it. We need to walk in obedience to it. And we do it for the glory of Christ. Amen.